Good morning, and welcome to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, Pastor Greg Barr continues our Advent series. His message, Christmas is a season for joy. Now from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, here's the Church Orchestra, Westport Road Baptist Church's Handbell Choir, and the Sanctuary Choir with Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Let's pray together. God, as we come into
the season, as we're in the midst now of the season, the excitement is building. For children, the anticipation of Christmas. For parents and grandparents, seeing the joy of Christmas through the eyes of a child. But help us all to sit back in awestruck wonder of this incredible thing that you've done in our world. That you came into this world, that you sent your only Son, broke into our world, to bring us joy everlasting, to bring us life everlasting. Help us to experience it as you desire. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, last week when we started, I told you the story of a speaker who asked his audience to close their eyes, and I was afraid to do that with you, but to close their eyes and envision peace. And then he asked, what did you see? And after listening to them talk about beautiful nature vistas and alpine scenes, he noted that one thing was missing in every one of their ideas of peace, and that was people. And we talked about last week, if we're going to live in peace on earth, then we've got to learn to live at peace with other people. Well, today we're going to move from images to words. If I were to ask you to think or to write down the first word that comes to your mind when you think of Christmas, I expect there would be a lot of responses. For many of us in this kind of setting, we might think of the word Jesus and write that down. Others would say family or friends or excitement. And depending on the kind of week you've had, you might say something like busy or hurried or expensive. But today I want to add one more word to your list, and that is the word joy. Because Christmas is a season of joy. This was the message in the beginning. This was the message that the angels proclaimed to shepherds and others who were close enough to hear. This message of joy has come into our world. And we'll look at that in just a few minutes. We were made to experience joy. C.S. Lewis once wrote that joy is the serious business of heaven. You and I were made to experience joy. As we look at the creation story, we see that God placed the first human beings, man and woman, in this paradise, and he filled it with everything they needed to enjoy life. To enjoy life with God, to enjoy life on earth, and to enjoy life with each other. But as we follow through the story, we discover that they begin to wonder, could there be something even more than this? And all of these generations later, we still wonder the same thing. God has promised us guidance and direction in life, his love that will never leave or forsake us. And still we find ourselves wondering if there might be something more. Because sin, as it robs so many things from our world, one of the things it took from us is our sense of trust and our sense of joy. And we've replaced it, as Eugene Peterson suggests, with the idea of entertainment. He says it like this: we pay someone to make jokes, to tell stories, to perform dramatic actions, to sing songs. The enormous entertainment industry in America is a sign of the depletion of joy in our culture. Society is a bored, gluttonous king, employing a court jester to divert it after an overindulgent meal. But that kind of joy never penetrates our lives, never changes our basic constitution. The effects are extremely temporary. A few minutes, a few hours, a few days at most. In settling for entertainment, see, we miss out on joy. But it doesn't have to be like that. You and I can rediscover joy in the babe of Bethlehem's manger. Do you have a favorite Christmas special or movie? Anybody have a favorite movie they watch at every Christmas? It's A Wonderful Life. Anybody else in the choir, maybe? Y'all have any specials? White Christmas. Polar Express. What's that, Christmas Carol? What's that? By the Muppets. A Muppets Christmas Carol. We watched that with the 5th and 6th graders at the house last year. I like to watch Christmas Vacation. Anybody like that movie? tells you something about me. Christmas vacation. In fact, the night before Jackie and I got married, the groomsmen and I went to see Christmas Vacation. It had just opened at the theater earlier that month. And so we went off and we saw Christmas Vacation. It was a lot of fun. I like the Charlie Brown Christmas special and the way it recounts the Christmas story. But I also like another one, and it's The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Ashley says I like it because there's some Grinch in me, and I don't understand that. I was upstairs earlier just before Bible study group started and walked to one of the classes, and Laura Broadwater had a huge tumbler with a Grinch on it. But anyway, you remember the story of the Grinch. The Grinch lives on a cliff high above the land of Whoville, and he's constantly irritated with what he sees below. The people seem to be filled with such joy. They go around making merry all day. They sing and they greet one another with gladness. And they're decorating for Christmas. And he's had enough of it. And so one night under the cover of darkness, the Grinch sneaks down into Whoville. And he steals all of the decorations and all of the presents. Convinced that once these things are gone, the people of Whoville will be as miserable as him. But to his great surprise, when the people wake up the next morning and discover that everything's been taken from them, they gather in the city square and they begin to sing joyful songs of Christmas once again. And he watches it with wonder, and finally he speaks and he notes that Christmas, it came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas somehow means a little bit more. And perhaps, just perhaps for us, we've misunderstood things the way that the Grinch does. We've confused happiness for joy. Happiness is based on what I have and what I'm surrounded with. Joy comes from somewhere deeper. Happiness is fleeting while joy is lasting. Joy is not about what happens to me. It's about what's inside me. And with that as background, let's go back now some 2,000 years. Back to Bethlehem. Back to where the story all began of Christmas. And listen to what Luke says. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the town of Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord." The angels pronounce good news of a great joy, which will be for not just some of the people, not just the wealthy and the powerful, not just those who have resources and means, not just to the popular or to the privileged, but the angel announced that this good news of great joy will be for everyone, for all people, even to shepherds, the lowly, the outcast, the forgotten, people like shepherds, who, having seen the promised one themselves, return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. The Magi made a long journey to see the newborn king, and when they found him, they bowed down and they worshiped him. And Matthew tells us that they went away overjoyed. Mary and Joseph are still trying to make sense of everything themselves, all that's been happening around them, but they marveled at these things and treasured them in their hearts. 8 days later, they presented Jesus as a temple at the temple as they were supposed to do. And on duty that day was a man named Simeon, an old man, an old priest who had waited his entire life convinced that before he died, God would allow him to see the promised one. And when he saw Jesus, he praised God, "Because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel." All of this came about, this great joy, because of the one born in Bethlehem's manger. Mary and Joseph made their way there to be part of a census. There were several reasons why the Roman government would ask for a census. One was simply to count the population, to understand how many people were living in the empire. One would be to conscript people into military service, to see how many people were eligible to serve. It could also be done for the purposes of taxation. And in this particular case, the census required everyone to go back to their communities of origin, back to the place of ancestry. And so Joseph, being of the house and the line of David, being a descendant of David, and Mary, made their way back to Bethlehem. From Nazareth, down in the Galilee, up to the Judean hills to Bethlehem. A journey of about 60 miles. It would have been challenging at any point, but this was not the best of times for them to make a journey like this. Mary was very late in her pregnancy. You know, one of the things that surprised me a little bit when we went to Israel a couple of years ago is how rocky and rough and hilly the land is. And I can imagine a 60-mile journey just today across that kind of terrain. But back then, especially in the midst of a pregnancy, it was an arduous journey, a journey that would have taken several days. And when they got to Bethlehem, finally arrived there, there was no room for them to stay. So many people had come to town to participate in the census that every room was taken. And so someone did for them the best that they could do and provided them a stable, an animal's living space in order to bed down. And while they were there, the scripture says, the time came for Mary to have her first child. Now, they wouldn't have chosen this. They wouldn't have chosen for Mary to have given birth in a place like this, far away from home. In an animal's feeding trough would be his first bed. But what else could they do? They felt like everything was out of their control. The shepherds were surrounded by this great light, this voice. They were out on the fields. The shepherds' fields near Bethlehem are just very close by. They're out minding their own business, tending their sheep, when all of a sudden, their quiet night, angels break into it, scaring them half to death, but then announcing the birth of a Savior. It seems so out of control. The Magi are living in a situation that where Herod is trying to control everything. Simeon has been waiting his entire life to see the Messiah for himself, but he has no way to control that. Everything seems so out of control. And you and I may feel our lives are out of control. But into this out of control world, into this world of uncertainty, the angels announce the birth of the one who is in control, who has the ability to handle what we cannot, who can make room where there is no vacancy, the one who can settle the anxious heart, who can bring courage to the fearful heart, who can bring healing to the broken heart. As followers of Jesus, we can trust that he is in control even when we are not. That he can make sense of senseless things in time. That we do the best with what we have, but then we trust him with the rest. "Do not be afraid," the angel said. "We bring you good news of great joy. joy is found in the one born in Bethlehem's manger. Eugene Peterson says this joy is not dependent on our good luck and escaping hardship. It's not dependent on good health and avoidance of pain. Christian joy is actual in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, loneliness, and misfortune. Even in our story, Jesus is coming to the world. The world will never be the same again, but still, there are so many challenges and struggles to be faced. Jesus is coming to the world. The angels sing of this great joy, but still the people find themselves living under Roman occupation. The angels announce this great message, this good news of great joy, but still, Mary and Joseph will have to flee to Egypt in order to save Jesus' life from a fearful and bloodthirsty king named Herod. There were still many challenges and many struggles to be faced, but the angels still sing of this great joy, which is for all people. Good Friday will follow Christmas, but still the angels announce this great joy. And so in the midst of this life, in the midst of this season, don't seek to define your happiness by what you have or what you get or how many parties to which you're invited. But instead, find your joy in Jesus, in trusting Him, in walking His path, and knowing that even when things seem out of control, that we worship the one who is in control. Joy is not about having what we want, but discovering that in Him we have all that we need. We have Jesus, our Savior and Lord.
Pour out your
listening to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located at 3515 Grandview Avenue between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes. Join us for worship in person this morning. Bible study for all ages at 9:15, followed by worship at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love. From St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus.